Merry Christmas, and looking forward to the day. Just, you know, this time of year, it's, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it. It's just a time of year we focus on, you know, kind of shutting down a year and moving on to the next year. And I know it's just, tomorrow's just Monday, you know, it's just another day, really. But we do tend to, in our minds, kind of to roll over the calendar and start again and set some new goals maybe and that kind of thing. And I think that's probably good. At times, just to have a time of refocus. So I'm looking forward to the day, and going to preach a couple of messages. One message this morning on that. Don't forget tonight, we don't have a 2 o'clock service today. Our service will be tonight at 8, which I know is late. And we were driving all day yesterday, and we got a little bit of sleep last night, and we're all tired. And I was wondering if I would make it till midnight tonight. We'll see, but I'm going to try. So tonight, what we're going to do, we're just going to meet downstairs. And we'll sing a couple of songs downstairs together. And then I have a little message I'm going to preach, or really just something I want to share with you about sort of the end of the year and the beginning of the new year. And then we'll have some time for praises and even prayer requests for the new year. I think that's a good thing to do. And then after that, we're going to just have some time of games. So if you want to bring your favorite board games, card games, you know, that kind of thing, we'll have a good time together this evening. If there's enough of us here, we're going to play Fishbowl, which is we did last year. Everybody really liked it. Everybody's been asking all year, when are we going to play that again? And so we'll play that again tonight, and that'll be fun. And so we'll have a good time. And people ask me about food. Just we're probably going to eat supper before we come because it's pretty late, especially to make kids wait till like 8 or 9 to eat supper. So go ahead and eat, and then just bring snacks and whatever you want. If you want to bring your dinner, that's fine. But we'll just keep it low key and just do what you want to do. So we'll just bring some snacks and enjoy some time, and we'll bring in the new year together tonight. So don't forget that, and we'll enjoy that. All right, let's turn to Isaiah 40 this morning, and going to go get right back into our Sunday school curriculum, which is dealing with the Holy Spirit. And I think this is an apt passage. I was kind of thinking through. I have a message this morning. I'm going to preach specifically for the new year, or really finishing out a year. And in Sunday school, I thought, well, what will we do on New Year's Eve? And I started looking at the notes, and I think, no, it's perfect right where it is in the study of the Holy Spirit here. And because today we're talking about the Holy Spirit strengthening ministry. Look at Isaiah 40, and let's start in verse 29. Actually, just go back to 28. So Isaiah 40, 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Father, I pray this morning that your Spirit, as we study your Spirit today and the effect that he can have on our life if we allow him, I pray, God, that you would you would speak to our hearts, that you would help these truths to be helpful to us, something that we can, Lord, work on and improve. And Lord, just really, I think it really all boils down to improving our cooperation with the Holy Spirit. But help us to understand this thing that he does and coming alongside and giving us strength when we have none. I pray that you'd be with me as I preach in the Sunday school hour and then again in the morning service. And Lord, would you just Father, make clear your word, and Lord, I pray that you give me the words to say. I pray you bless our time of Sunday school now, and bless the kids downstairs as they have their Sunday school classes as well. Lord, may it all bring honor and glory to you. We'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the reason I said that this is an apt, I believe, a good message for the end of the year is that we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit strengthening us and, well, his strengthening ministry. I know that everyone can relate to the description I'm about to give or what I'm about to describe. And maybe it happens sort of toward the end of the year where, you know, physically, emotionally, spiritually, we've just run out of gas. You know, we're just tired. And there's probably times in life, I'll probably run out of gas tomorrow, but I pride myself in never having run out of gas. Even when I was little, I was 16, you know, I was so fearful of running out of gas that I would just fill up all the time and never get close. And my grandfather was one that when he got to about half a tank, if you got below half a tank, you were just running on fumes to him. And so he'd tell you, you go fill that thing up. And so, but in our spiritual lives, even in our physical lives, just emotionally, boy, there's times where we've run out of gas. We're just running on fumes, you might say. We're tired, we're weary. And I'll just tell you, I don't know what does it. Sometimes it's trials. Sometimes it's victories. Sometimes it's just life. Sometimes it's the kids, right? Sometimes it's the job. There's a whole lot of things in our life. There's all these things. There's all these factors that bring fatigue and exhaustion. And I'll just say this, when we're in those times of fatigue, when we're in those times of exhaustion, and it could be physically, emotionally, spiritually, when we're in those times, we don't tend to think correctly, and we don't tend to make good decisions, okay? It's just something that happens, and it could be our hectic schedules. It could be us trying to meet expectations. It could be trials or burdens. And, you know, there's all these different things that cause weariness, and I don't think I have to spend a whole lot of time there because an amen or a raise of the hand, who could say this? They've experienced a season of life where they were just tired. Tired, yeah, okay. Everyone has that experience. And I don't think it just happens once in a while. I think it's part of life. It seems like we go through seasons of, you know, busyness, and even if things are good, man, it tires us and it wears us down. You may have this experience where you go on vacation and you have a great time with your family. You know, you go and you do all the stuff, but you get home and we always say, man, now we need a vacation from our vacation because we're exhausted. We ran we burned the candle at both ends. We ran the whole time and you're driving everywhere. So you get home, it's like, oh, I need a couple of days to rest now up from my vacation. And it might teach us we need to think about how we vacation a little bit differently. But in any case, man, it just seems like all the things of this world make us tired, make us weary. And it's one thing to be physically tired. You know, that can happen after a long day's work or maybe several days put together of a lot of work. And physical depletion has a toll on us. But when we get to be spiritually run down, we kind of enter a dangerous zone because our attitude, our outlook, it would be different. The way we look at the world, the way that we respond to our kids, the way we respond to each other, the way we treat our spouse, little problems in our mind become big problems. It just skews our focus when we're tired. There's been a lot of heartache caused, literal families broken up, abuse, financial ruin, just a lot of bad decisions made because people were spiritually weary, just depleted, overwhelmed by the burdens of life, tired of the fight because life is a battle, more agitated with our relationships, and sometimes a good night's sleep isn't enough. You know, I've had this happen a lot where you've had a really busy week or really like a spiritual, emotionally demanding week. And you get to the end of it and you're just spent. And so, your wife says something to you and you're just short with her, you know? Or you get irritated about something that normally you wouldn't be irritated about. And I'm just talking about myself because there's things that maybe I don't know. I'm struggling to come up with an example, a specific example, but it happens all the time where you have to go back to your wife and say, you know what? I'm just tired. I was just tired. I was short with you because it's not anything that you did. It's my fault. I just was tired. Well, on a small scale, those things are easily repairable, and you go back and you're like, you know, I'm tired. But I'll tell you what, seen a whole lot of people just sort of lose heart in the Christian life because they were overwhelmed. And the problem, I believe, and I think we'll get to it here, the problem, I believe, is that we're trying to do all this stuff in our own strength. We're trying to live the Christian life by our own wit and our own knowledge and our own, like I said, our own energy, our own strength. And the Christian life is bigger than what we can do, folks. It requires strength that we do not possess in ourselves. I know there's a lot of, we could humorously kick rocks at all these other preachers that, oh, just, you know, find the champion inside or whatever, the power of positive thinking, or you can do anything you put your mind to. All those things are completely false. You can't do anything you put your mind to. You say, well, how's that? Well, I can't fly to the moon and back no matter how hard I think about it and set my mind to it. I know that's not what they're saying, but I'm just trying to tell you, our Christian life is meant to be dependent upon Him. We're not supposed to be doing this life in our own strength or just sort of, like I said, just pulling ourselves up by the bootstraps and being real tough, and we're just going to do this thing. No, the Christian life, the closer we get to the Lord, there's this thing that happens where when a newborn is born, they're completely dependent upon mom and dad, right? They can't do anything for themselves. They're completely dependent upon mom and dad. And as they grow and they get older, prayerfully, right, those of you with kids, prayerfully, they become more and more independent. Prayerfully, yeah, they someday, and I don't look forward to the day when my kids move out of the house, but I also, I don't think it would be normal for them to say, you know what, I'm not going to work, I'm not going to go do anything, I'm just going to just live off of mom and dad. I don't think that's normal. So prayerfully, there's a point where they spread their wings and they fly and they become less dependent upon mom and dad. But you know, in the Christian life, that's not how it works. The closer we get to the Father, the more we realize we need to be dependent upon the Father. The more, the less independent we need to be apart from the Lord. We understand we need more and more of Him. We need to accomplish the things that He wants us to accomplish in this life. We're going to need His strength. We're going to need His grace. We're going to need His mercy. We're going to need His forgiveness. We're going to need Him to come alongside time and time again and pick us up and gather us up and put us back on our feet and help us go the next steps. We're going to need more and more of His instruction. And we're going to need more and more of His Spirit's leading. More and more, we're going to have to rely on Him for the things that He wants us to do. And so I understand it's a normal thing for a child to grow up and become independent of his parents physically, but hopefully as that child grows up in the Lord, he's becoming more and more dependent upon Christ. Our issue is sometimes we're just trying to do it all in our own strength, and life gets very overwhelming when we do that. And so in our text today, notice that we have a God, and in my prayers this morning, I thank the Lord for this truth. We have a God that never gets tired. Isn't that good? He never gets tired. He's never searching. Notice what it says there in verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. Like, let's don't be confused about who's being spoken of there. That's the Lord God Almighty. He fainteth not. He's not weary. There is no searching of his understanding. I mean, he's not wondering what to do next. He's not worried about tomorrow. He knows the very place we are in our life now. He knows where we're going, and he knows everything that's going to happen in between. And he's not tired. He's not weary. He hasn't run out of strength. He's not fretting. You ought to be thankful that's the God that you serve. Because not only is that the God that we serve, that is the God who strengthens us, and He does it through His Holy Spirit. That verse 31, where He says, "But they that wait upon the Lord." Actually, before I describe that, let's just go down to verse 30. He giveth power to the faint. I'm sorry, that's verse 29. And to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. So where is our strength supposed to come from? Where is our might, our power supposed to come from? Well, verse 29 says, He giveth the strength. He giveth the might. And so, again, it's not that I need to sort of gather the strength from inside of me somewhere. No, I need to rely on His strength. Now, notice verse 30. This is the contrast. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. You know what He's saying there? Have you ever, and I'm 40, approaching 41 pretty rapidly, and when I see the like kids just running, I think it was Emmy a while ago, we're standing in the foyer, and that she's just, and I'm just in, can I have some of that? Can I have some of that? And I know they take it from you. That's why you're tired. And there, but just the strength, the energy that children have, it just, as we get older, we go, man, I wish I had some of that strength. I wish I had some of that youth, some of that vitality, some of that energy. But what God says is at the end of the day, even that strength, even that energy, it'll fall. It'll run out. At the end of the day, we're just humans, and we don't have everlasting strength like God does. And so, verse 29, He gives us strength because even those who seem to have energy, it's not enough. Verse 31 now, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So we're going to have this lesson. We're going to go through, and I probably won't finish it today, and that's okay. But we're going to see several different ways how the Holy Spirit renews our strength. But I want you to understand, it's not something that just automatically happens in the Christian life. We're going to see this as we study the Holy Spirit, we continue to go through this book. What you're going to see is all these things that the Holy Spirit desires to do in our life, all these things that the Holy Spirit it's God's will that He do in our life, we have to allow it. We have to let the Lord have His way. We have to, you know, we haven't talked about it yet, but we will. It is possible to grieve the Spirit. It's possible to resist His direction. It's possible to say no to Him. And when we say no to Him, well, we're not going to get the things that He wants to do with us. So this verse, it says, it's conditional. Notice, they that wait upon the Lord. I think we read this verse and we like that part about mount up with wings as eagles, you know. You could, I see those paintings a lot of times. You got the bald eagle spreading the wings and he's flying. It's just this majestic bird. And you're like, yeah, the Lord will give us strength. But notice it says, they that wait upon the Lord. Not everyone's flying like an eagle. There are some people who are weary and downtrodden and overwhelmed. And so that word, it's important to understand. He giveth power to the faint, to them that hath no might, He increases strength. But it's this, but they that wait upon the Lord. That word wait, you know what it means to wait. That's why Brother Luke gave that testimony today, because he was ready to wait at that Social Security office. And it is a miracle of the Lord that you didn't in that place, I'm telling you. And so to wait, it means to bind together with patience. Okay, to bind together with patience. So patience is something we don't really like to talk about. We don't really pray for patience because we understand the way that we get patient is by going through things that make us patient. And then we learn patience. And the things that teach us patience aren't fun, typically. And so we don't necessarily like the idea of like, well, I just need to be a patient person, or Lord, make me more patient. But to bind together in patience means that we would, it's like this. If we're binding ourselves to the Lord in patience, it's like this. I'm putting my dependence fully upon Him. I'm waiting for His answer. I'm not in my strength going after my own answer. Does that make sense? I'm waiting on His answer. I'm not leaving His side to go figure it out myself. Now, don't misunderstand. This doesn't mean that you're supposed to just sit on the couch all week and just wait for the checks to come in the mail and wait for someone to come put a spoon in your mouth and feet. Not, I mean, you can always take a truth to a point of stupidity, right? We're not that, understand, that's not what I'm saying. God's given us, He's given us a brain to think. I heard a great message this last week about the word ponder and how God, that's a very important word in the Bible. We're supposed to ponder the path of our feet. That means we're supposed to take carefully thought out steps. I mean, God's given you a brain. He does expect us to get up and do the things that He wants us to do, but we're supposed to do those things in obedience to Him, in dependence to Him, and relying on Him. Okay, so we bind ourselves to the Lord. We're waiting on His answer. We're understanding. We don't have the strength for this thing, and so we're waiting on the Lord. The condition, once that's met, the Bible says, in His time, He renews strength. So we're going to look at a few ways in which He does that. So if you're in that period of life where you're just tired, and we've all been there, and if you are there, don't beat yourself up about it. What do? Well, you can start today waiting on the Lord, binding yourself to Him. Again, trusting Him, obeying, knowing that He has the answers for tomorrow and the next day and the next day, and you can rely on Him. You can trust Him. And so out of obedience and cooperation to Him, you wait on Him, and some things are going to start happening. And so He uses the Holy Spirit, and we're going to look at quite a few different verses as we move throughout this lesson, because there's a lot of different ways that the Holy Spirit brings us this sort of strength. I don't know. I'm trying. There's a lot of introduction here. I'm trying to just establish the thought, and I want you to understand some of the things. Sometimes. Because you say, well, what does it mean to act and do things in the Lord's strength? How do I know that's happening? Well, because at the end of the day, we're probably still tired. A couple of things. I've had several periods of life in the ministry where you just, in the ministry, a lot of times you do burn the candle at both ends. It's just part of it's just part of what happens. And I'll just tell you this. I don't know that sometimes you know that it's happening when it's happening, but you look back and you go, how was all that accomplished? There's no way. How was all that accomplished? And you know, the only answer is, well, it had to be in the Lord's strength. He's the one that has kept us going. So sometimes we don't know, but I think sometimes we do know the Lord's renewing us. You know, Paul talks about how our outward man perisheth day by day, right? But our inward man is renewed each day. I read a story of a young pastor, and I don't even remember where I read this, but it stuck with me, and it's very good advice. But this young pastor, he came into a church. I can't remember if he started the church or if he came in and was pastoring this church. But he came in there and the Lord really just started blessing the work. And so very quickly, this church went from a few people to a few hundred people. And before long, he had they're building buildings and there's people everywhere. And he's, as a pastor, he's trying to minister to all these people. And I think it was his first pastorate, or it was very early in his ministry days. And I'm telling you, he immediately, just the amount of ministry that he had on his plate became overwhelming. And the growth was a blessing. I mean, he's like, praise the Lord, look what's happening. But at the same time, it's overwhelming. And he asked another pastor, and this is, I guess it was in the book I was reading, but he asked another pastor, he went to this older pastor and said, how do I do this? because I can't do this. There's too many people. There's too many calls. There's too much ministry. There's no time for sermon preparation. We got building projects. We got, and he's overwhelmed. He goes to his pastor, how do I do this? And that older pastor said, you better be at the foot of the cross every morning, gathering strength, asking for help, leaning on Jesus. That's what it means to be binding yourself to him. You can't leave him. You've got to include him. In fact, it's more like this. He's got to include you. If you think about it. You ever ask the Lord, Lord, help me with this? And you think, okay, and we read those verses, the Lord is my helper. I want to be the Lord's helper, right? Now, I'm not against the verses say the Lord is my helper. He absolutely is. But really the thought is that God would be doing the work and we would just be being obedient, right? Okay, so how does the Holy Spirit do this? Well, let's just talk about a couple of things this morning. First of all, the Holy Spirit leads and guides us. And we need to understand this because we're going to try to help our mind, our thoughts, with this idea of we're overwhelmed, we don't know what to do, we're depleted. Well, we have to rely on the Holy Spirit for our direction. He is the one that is supposed to lead and guide us. A lot of times we're weary in life because we're on the wrong path, or we've chosen to go the wrong way, or we're just not following the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So the Comforter, we saw this a couple weeks ago, John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we're going to think about this phrase being led of the Spirit of God. I'm telling you this, whenever we're just physically, emotionally, spiritually exhausted, we do not see our world clearly. Okay, so letter A there, without him, we are easily deceived, right? We're often misled by our emotions. You know, the Bible doesn't say follow your heart. In fact, it says be careful about that thing, right? Be careful about your heart. It's deceitfully wicked. Jeremiah says, who can know it? Our heart deceives us. Our emotions deceive us. Our feelings, our desires, they can be deceptive, especially when we are exhausted. When we're tired, our emotions they just come to the surface. And everything feels bigger than it is. I wanted to show a video this morning to you, but one of these days I will get it downloaded and pull it up. But it's Dr. David Gibbs. He's got this story he tells where he's on an airplane and he's in there with the guy talked him into getting on this airplane to go to this meeting or whatever, and they get up there in the air and the pilot there starts to be clouds, and the pilot says, "Oh no, I pass out whenever there's a lot of clouds and I can't see," and he thought he was joking. He's like, "What?" And he thought he was joking. Next thing you know, that pilot passes plumb out, and here's Dr. Gibbs and flying in this plane. And no pilot. And so he gets on the radio, and I won't tell the whole story because I'd like you to hear it. It's his testimony of it is incredible. But anyway, he has to listen to the commands of that air traffic controller and watch the gauges in front of it. That's all he knew to do, and the guy told him how to do it. He landed that plane. It's just an incredible story. The idea is this, that there are times, and think about a pilot gets up into the clouds and they go into what they call the soup. You know, when you get into those, if you've ever been on an airplane and you look out the window and it's just white, can't see anything, you're in the clouds, you can't rely on what you are perceiving, right? You can't rely on, well, I don't know how, there's a lot of planes that have run right into a mountain because they thought, well, I'm high enough in the air, I'm in these clouds, and lo and behold, the ground comes up under them, right? And so looking out the window isn't good enough. Our experiences, no matter how much experience a pilot has, if he can't see out the windows, he doesn't know how high off the ground he is unless he consults his instruments, right? And the instruments in that plane are extremely important for flying. There's stories of, for example, pilots in battle that have, you know, they're fighting. And so they're flying around like crazy, dodging missiles and whatever. There's stories of those guys not knowing whether they're facing up or down, you know? And what do they have to do in those circumstances? They have to rely on their instruments. The instruments in that plane, if they're working properly, we're assuming they're working properly, right? The instruments in that plane tell the truth of the story when the pilot doesn't always know. The Bible says this in Proverbs 3:5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." When we quote that verse, we think about that verse, we're really usually emphasizing the first part of the verse, trust in the Lord. But notice the second part of the verse says, but lean not unto thy own understanding. In times of weariness, our perceptions can be majorly skewed. Small things that never would have made us upset, make us upset. We view what's happening as unfair. We view things as happen. We're really good at throwing those pity parties for ourselves. It hasn't gone my way. But our what is the instrument saying? Lean not on our own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. So we have to, especially during these times, we have to rely on the leadership of the Holy Spirit. What is He telling us? Well, can I say this? You won't know unless you're close to Him. You won't know unless you're spending time with Him. And unless you're being obedient to Him, you won't hear the Holy Spirit's leading if you're living the life sort of ignoring Him. So if you're going through that time of weariness and it's like, man, I don't even know which way is up right now, you need to get back to the Lord. You need to get back to those instruments and see what way is up. So without Him, we're easily deceived. With Him, we are safely led. We're safely led. So in a larger airplane or a ship, and again, I've never flown a plane. I wouldn't know how. I have commandeered several boat vessels, but none of them could be called a ship. Right? Just little fishing boats and stuff. So I'm speaking out of my expertise, which is very small. So I usually do speak out of my expertise. But upon one of these big ships is usually a navigator. Like, it's his only job to know where they are and to know where they're going, to know where the hazards are, if there are hazards, to know what the weather looks like and what detours may need to be made for various travel conditions. They're in tune with they've been there before, they're in tune with the path, they know what the map says. And so the captain relies on the navigator for those instructions. Well, the Holy Spirit wants to be our navigator in life. I say it a lot, I believe it's like the Bible is our map, and then the Holy Spirit is like our compass. And I know it's not that simple, but it's something like that. You know, if I gave you a map and I put you out in the woods and I put a blindfold on you and I spun you around a bunch of times, then I ran off, you might, you know, if you got a few skills, you could probably figure out which way is north, south, east, and west. But if you didn't have those skills, that map would be useless. You could look at it all you want. If you don't know which way to turn it, or if you get a map and there's no little key on there that says this way is north, that's useless. Now, again, don't take it to where I'm not taking. I'm not saying the Bible is useless. I'm saying God intends for us to go by His Word and by His Spirit. The two work together. The two work together to guide us and lead us in this life. I'm saying this, when we're weary and we don't know which way to go, we have to trust what God has said. We have to trust His Word. We have to trust His Spirit's leading. And know this, He's not tired. He's not searching in His thoughts for what to do next. And we follow Him. So the Holy Spirit leads. And actually, we'll just stop right there because the next few points, I did a lot of introduction. The next few points are shorter. We'll work on those a little bit next week. But the Holy Spirit strengthens us. If you're tired, if you're weary, you got to get back to the Lord. He is our source of strength. And it's an amazing truth that He wants to do more with us than we can do. It's an amazing thing. He wants to do more. This book is called Living Beyond Your Capacity. He wants to do more than you're capable of doing. So how's that possible? It's only through the Holy Spirit. All right, let's pray. Lord, we are thankful for your Spirit. We just barely got into the lesson today, but Lord, help us to be submissive to your Spirit in our life. Lord, help us not to be led by our emotions, by our reactions to the things going on, but Lord, help us to trust in you, to trust the things that you've told us in your Word and the leadership you give through your Spirit. I pray that as we work on this lesson next week or two, that you would help us to practically understand how to listen to the Spirit and how to obey Him. And Lord, I just pray that it would ultimately be a help. God, would you please bless in our services today? Be with everyone that comes here. We pray that you would renew us today through your Word and give us, Lord, just some encouragement through, as we look at Joshua 3 here in just a little while. I just pray you give everyone encouragement to step forward for you in this new year. And Lord, we'll thank you for it all. We pray for your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen.